It is 7 o'clock in Avalon. Good evening, everyone, here and elsewhere. First of all, before we start, a few informations. Tomorrow evening, we will have the pleasure to listen to Dr. Philippe Cornu, professor at the University of Louvain, and the president of the Buddhist University, European Buddhist Institute. He will make a presentation of a famous book. If you can come to Avalon, it is the occasion. It starts tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Philippe, hello. It is very agreeable to see you again. Tonight, the universal dimension of ethics and spirituality, or ethics and universal ethics and spirituality, is something that could be named ethics and universal ethics and spirituality. Does it exist? Is there a universal dimension common to all spiritualities and to all ethics? Yes, there is a dimension of ethics and spirituality, and it is the heart of all healthy traditions. The universal dimension of ethics and spirituality. What would make ethics or spirituality, what would make it universal? To put things differently, what is universal? What is universal is natural. What is natural? Fundamentally natural is culture. There are a lot of cultures that have developed in a lot of different socio-linguistic matrices. There is a primitive origin in the fundamental human nature. And here it is, the unity of fundamental experience, what we call chimé, unity in diversity, unity in the languages, philosophical systems, in the perspectives, diversity of expressions, of presentation, of means of realization, that are all going towards the same thing, which is fundamental unity. It is the traditional symbol of the wheel of Dharma, with a lot of radiuses who all converge towards the middle of the wheel, which allows it to go round. This fundamental dimension is beyond all names and forms and all concepts whatsoever. What it's about is not a religion. or any other beliefs. We can use different terms, we can discuss about them, but we can also use the term philosophy, this universal dimension of ethics and spirituality is a philosophy . What it's about is not a religion or a belief. We can also use the term philosophy. This universal dimension of ethics and spirituality is a philosophy, an operative philosophy, not in a modern sense, speculative, but in the sense of love of wisdom. What constitutes the heart of ethics and spirituality in their universality. It is love and wisdom. Love that we can also call compassion, which is another form of empathy, of participation, communion. We are all the same. We have all the same motivation. Kundun the Dalai Lama often expresses it. When I talk about myself, I am talking about you. Foolish he who believes that I am other than you, Victor Hugo. There is this common foundation that animates us. In spirituality, the foundation is in the wisdom understood as the wisdom of love that we can also call compassion, that is a quality of empathy, of participation, of communion, of empathy. We are all equal. We all have the same motivation. Kundun the Dalai Lama often expresses it. And when I am talking about myself, I am talking about you. Foolish he who believes that I am other than you, Victor Hugo. There is this foundation, this common foundation which animates us. In spirituality, the foundation is in the wisdom understood as the intelligence of what is. Know thyself, Socrates. Realize the nature of your mind, the Buddha. To understand who we are, what we are. There are two ways for valid understanding, which are the reason, with deduction, inference, and nowness, that we also name the experience, the immediate yogic experience. The immediate conceptual experience in a non-dual experience between observer and the one who is observed. The immediate aconceptual experience in a participation, non-dual participation between observer and the one who is observed. Nowness is the heart of all non-duality, of all the paths of non-duality. All these paths are ways to discover non-duality. Here is the foundation of all spiritualities, universal spirituality. Concerning ethics, what is universal? What could be universal? We were talking before about the equality between me and others. I am like you, you are like me. If the other one is another me, I will respect the others as I respect myself. One should not treat others in ways that one would not like to be treated. To respect others as ourselves, to love others as ourselves, to have compassion towards others is the principle of non-violence that we commonly name the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule, which states one should not treat others in ways that one would not like to be treated. This is the foundation of all universal ethics and all the ethical rules of discipline can be understood as a consequence of this Golden Rule. It is very important. We have wisdom, intelligence, and love, compassion. Love, compassion, non-violence, which controls the Golden Rule, which is controlled by the Golden Rule. We can also see what we can also study what we name deep experience. This deep experience will conduct not only the ethical practice, then the spirit and the spiritual practice. What is the universal deep experience? That is non-conceptual or non-cultural. This universal deep experience will conduct not only the ethical practice, but also the spiritual practice. What is the universal deep experience? That is non-conceptual or non-cultural. This universal dimension of deep experience can be found in what we call mindfulness. In French, pleine conscience, pleine présence. Full awareness is a state of awareness, attentive, open, relaxed, and full awareness is a state of awareness, attentive, open, relaxed. All of this work at the same time. All of these are the same aspects of the same state. Openness, which is a quality of non-clinging and of awareness beyond all usual mental clinging, is the heart of all spirituality. Open awareness. We have a universal dimension of ethics and spirituality with the wisdom and intelligence, with the two valid ways of understanding, with ethics, with the golden rule, deep experience with full awareness, and also with the understanding of reality at a relative level in the understanding of reality at a relative level with the intelligence of interdependence, and at an absolute level in the acconceptual nowness. Here is a general introduction . I now give you the floor . Let's have a moment of full awareness. You have the floor if you wish it. All observations, remarks, questions are useful, are important. It is now a moment for consideration, analysis, reflection, and even for debate. When you were talking about the golden rule, I was thinking about the fact of not hurting others to not suffer ourselves. The pursuit of happiness is something very important for everyone. But I was thinking about that we all are suffering ourselves, to not treat others like you will not want to be treated yourself. It's something very particular, depending on the cultures or mental concepts. So the ethical concept is very difficult to apply for these people. It is a very good reflection. It's about otherness. There are three kinds of otherness. The otherness in oneself, the otherness, the common otherness with others, and the environmental otherness. It's a matter of respecting these three otherness. The sequence starts with ourselves. So, to have an attitude, a behavior of empathy towards ourselves, to be our own friend, to not force ourselves. To not have any self-aggressive behaviors, and to know how to appreciate ourselves, to appreciate our freedom, to appreciate our qualities, to have with ourselves a softness, a friendship, and a ethical and disciplined practice that is one of a respect for ourselves and a trust. There is the common otherness with others, our fellow man, our sisters, brothers, whoever they are. Not only our brothers and sisters from our family, in the sense of our clan, religion, but in a universal perspective, that is, all humans. It is very important whether we are we respect all humans in a global democracy. This general dimension, and the third form of otherness is the environmental one. habitat and inhabitant are intertwined. Habitat and the inhabitant form a couple. Like the ecosystem and its inhabitant, a interdependent couple. To ruin the habitat ruins the inhabitant. So there is here also a principle of non-violence, of empathy. It is a form of deep ecology, of respect towards nature, a respect towards life. I will have a personal question concerning monotheist religion and the these monotheist religion are by definition dualist. Will they go towards non-duality? This question is very interesting, but certainly that all monotheistic religions are not dualist by definition, but they are dualistic in their operative way of functioning. But you have to make a distinction between mystical approaches and theological approaches. Theology is always dualist, even if it can have very good articulated it remains dualist because it remains conceptual. What is conceptual is always dual, relative. The conceptual is relative. The non-conceptual is nowness, non-dual, in a instantaneous presence, awareness, and to enter in the non-dualistic path, it can only be non-conceptual. That is a path that is complete, which means that she brings to the transcendence of its own concepts. A complete path is one that is able to can dissolve itself. A tradition that is based on a belief that reality In a instantaneous presence, awareness, and to enter in a non-dualistic dimension, a non-dualistic path can only be non-conceptual. That is, a complete path is one that is self-dissolving in the expression that are necessary at the beginning, but afterwards can be dissolved. A tradition that is based on a belief in which the truth is infallible is a way is a dualistic conclusion. In the monotheistic religion, some had an idea of non-duality, absolute communion with God. But these people also usually had problems. The doctor of the church, the most universal Maître Eckhart, had a lot of problems. The Sufi had intuitions and perspective non-dualistic approaches and perspectives, but they had a lot of problems too. What is important the concepts separate experiment the experience brings together the fundamental experience, the natural experience, the non-conceptual experience. It is important to separate nature and culture. Experience brings together as it is our nature, but the concepts are various and so creates divisions. So if we create a concept, it is a problem. To give two names to God, it creates religious wars. There is an important point. It is the absolute. If we discuss with monotheistic religions, if God is absolute, the absolute, what is the absolute? The absolute is what doesn't depend on something that is another. This absence of otherness that characterizes the absolute, what is absolute is omnipresent. It is the same thing between. It is the same thing. Absolute and omnipresent. If the absolute wasn't omnipresent, there will be something somewhere that is another. So it would not be absolute. Let's suppose that God is omnipresent. In the Buddha tradition, the absolute God is omnipresent. The nature of this absolute God, the absolute body, penetrates everything. He is omnipresent. This absolute God is omnipresent. So the next question that is interesting, what about nature? When we name nature the nature of our mind, our own nature, nature is everywhere. Nature is omnipresent. And if nature is omnipresent, and if God is omnipresent, nature is God. In Christianity, there is this maxim, he who acts as an angel acts as a beast. There is a Christian maxim which says, in Christianity, there is this maxim that states, he who acts as an angel acts as a beast. How can we go beyond our unconscious neurosis and not copy this maxim in the Dharma? Let's suppose that he who acts as an angel acts as a beast. Let's admit. Do not act as a beast. Do not act as an angel. And indeed, wanting to act as an angel and pretending that we are an angel, there are only the saints have demonic visions.
De bête, de
important ici est que l'éthique dont nous parlons, ethics that we are talking about, isn't an ethic.
Dans les traditions monothéistes, l'éthique est toujours juridique. Des visions de bêtes démoniaques, de diables poilus à la queue fourchue, nerfs, etc. Voilà une petite réponse humoristique. Alors, ce qui est important ici est que l'éthique dont nous parlons,
ethics that we are talking about, is not a legal ethic. In the monotheistic religions, ethics is always legal. Moses received the Ten Commandments from God, who dictated them to him. These commandments are based on arguments of authority. There is the ethical authority. But in a universal perspective, ethics is never based on arguments of authority, whether it is divine or human. Ethics is based on a healthy perspective of health and therapy. What is good is healthy. Or it is because it is healthy that it is good. What is not healthy isn't good. Why? Because what is healthy brings harmony. Health. Harmony and happiness are all the same thing. Disharmony brings a loss of balance, which is a sickness, which is suffering and pain. In a natural perspective, in a universal perspective, it is a perspective of health. What it's about in a natural perspective, a universal perspective, it is a perspective of health. Ethics is a ethics of health, therapeutic, to achieve fundamental health. We can in Buddhism, we can look at the therapy in three sections, which is discipline, which are discipline, deep experience, and true understanding. Ethics, discipline of health, of non-violence, based on empathy and the golden rule, deep experience in mindfulness or full awareness, or the understanding of reality in its complexity and its interdependence. at a most fundamental level the experience of nowness. Today we live in a world that wishes more spirituality and ethics, but we see that spirituality is ridiculed. If we look at the medicine, there are very important a personal question. Today we live in a world that wishes more spirituality and ethics. We see that ethics is ridiculed. If we look at science with biological research, with cloning, there are very important stakes. Do you know is there a spiritual pursuit in these scientific researches, or are we just playing God? Science is an intelligence and a force, but it can be used for better or for worse. And because it is a great force, it is even more important that it remains ethical. Science and technoscience can create weapons of massive destruction, but also medication and treatment. So if we say that science remains ethical, it can be difficult. Science is neither ethical nor non-ethical by in itself, but its use can be made for better in empathy or non-violence, that is, in the intelligence of the practice of the Golden Rule. There are remarkable things that are being done in science. We can, for example, everything that is happening in the Mind and Life Institute, which was founded by Francisco Varela and the Kundun the Dalai Lama, who are in science without conscience is nothing but the ruin of the soul, Rabelais. Science without a ethical conscience is very damageable and disastrous. What ruins science? It's the ego. There is a few years ago. There was a few years ago, I was at the conference at the United Nations. The theme was Aristotle and the Buddha, same battle. Both of them said that what ruins us is covetousness. Covetousness. Aristotle makes the distinction between what is the economy and what is crematistic. Crematistic is the is money making money. The Buddha taught that the that covetousness is the root of all evils. It is this covetousness that governs the world today in this consumer society, in the when capitalism uses the science to the Buddha teach this covetousness that today governs the world in this consumer society. The big capitalist vampire, and when this vampire uses science for profit, science becomes disastrous. Dr. Cornu wants to say something. The notion of duality in monotheistic religion. In Christianity, if we try to understand this duality as in a Buddhist point of view, this God which creates the world and the beings, he gives them a autonomy, and this autonomy is wanted by God. It is wanted by his love. This duality is necessary, like a tension, so the creature can make the choice to turn towards her creator and to find the love that unites her to her to the God. Duality, this is the meaning of duality in the Christian point of view. The link between God and the creature. We look we go towards a non-duality. We are looking for the source of love that is in ourselves. So it is non-duality. Duality is probably more risky, but we have to recognize this we have to understand better this notion of duality in Christianity. The tension, this dualist tension between God and the creature in the monotheistic religions. It is true, but the same tension exists. In the Dharma at a relative level. It is the same thing, but the difference is that in the monotheistic religions we do not transcend the relative level. When we practice the sadhana of Shinrezi, in the first phase there is the same tension, but in the second phase of perfection, there is no otherness. There remains relative. In a Rime perspective, the experience brings together the concepts, separates. The experience is unique, the concepts of a are various. When two a little story that we often tell when two theologians meet, if they are in agreement. One of them is not a theologian. If two wise men meet, if they are not in agreement, wise men beyond all conceptual concepts, they are not wise. A little story that we often tell. When two theologians meet, if they are in agreement, one of them is not a theologian. If two wise men meet, if they are not in agreement,
alors, on entend par sage, un homme justement d'expérience,
a man, men of experience. If they don't agree, they are not wise. Or that one of them isn't wise. The natural experience brings together, it is the place of unity. Concepts separates.